Welcome, my name is Tania. Welcome to 12 Elements, Yoga and Wellbeing Podcast, Mind the Gap. Bridging the gap between life and your mat.
Welcome to Mind the Gap Podcast. I am here today, Fitzroy. Thank you so much for inviting us into your space and putting the fire on for me. We also have company here for Mrs. Fitzroy.
Mrs. Fitz.
Yes, you may see her moving her arms. So
I'll just come up and start.
So I'd like to talk to you about many things, and obviously you have a very rich career, and obviously your yoga history is also just as interesting. So I'd like to start with everyone right back to the beginning. So if you, if you can tell me where you were born and where you grew up.
I was actually born here in the Cliff.
Oh, really? In this neighborhood?
Yes, very close by. I was born here, lived in Uplo for the first 4 years of my life.
Uh-huh.
At least four, my parents decided like to take me and my sister out to the suburbs.
Uh-huh.
That was a better place for kids. So I grew up about 10 kilometers away from here, the other side of the forest, a place called Alsenberg.
So you grew up in nature, I guess.
I grew up close to nature. You know, I don't travel outside the town, see the first house. That's exactly where I lived.
Amazing.
Signing first cows.
So you grew up, like most people in Belgium, you speak, I heard you spoke a moment before speaking Flemish. So you speak French, or Dutch and German a little?
Dutch and Flemish are cows. I lived in Italy for 5 years. I lived in Berlin for 2 years, so for German. Then I moved to California, so. And then, to go answer some of my boss stars that learn Spanish.
That's interesting. We'll get to that in a minute. So, did you grow up in a spiritual background or a religious background? I've noticed that a lot of people in Belgium actually don't have like a strong religious background here, like to Australia. Like, either like Catholic or Anglican, or I grew up actually Seventh Day Adventist, so that's a bit unusual. Or Jehovah's Witness is very also big in Australia. But I noticed in Belgium, there's no strong dominant of a religion.
Well, like you just mentioned, probably the same thing here. My mom was Protestant, father was grew up in a small little town. His dad was a gardener, keeper of a Protestant community. But they were Catholics.
Catholic,
so he followed that Catholicism and kind of, you know, gave to us. So it's turned into like the church, which is like kind of like forced upon us. So, like, it's.
I think it's that generation it was. It's kind of like being on a Sunday. I also was Protestant for a little while, maybe the first 20 years. It was like something that you just kind of did as a family, right?
You did as a family. I never saw it as a spiritual thing. You know?
No, I didn't think
it was the God's guy. You know that this will happen. It'll be good.
Yeah.
So being good was like me thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I was a little rebellious at the church boring, you know?
Yeah.
So the minute I was old enough to go on my own, my sister, so we were allowed to go to church by our own 10 a.m. service Sunday morning in the village. So we would go up there, and I would say bye to my sister and go hang out with her in the cafeteria on the skateboard with the hour. My sister after she used to be the ceremony. So,
God is good.
People would be questioned. The lunch table over there. I would know what's going on.
That's cool. So you have such a vast background. You study economic science.
Correct.
And also nursing. I mean, obviously not at the same time.
So I was just trying to find my way, like get the system at a time and place where every 2 years could switch your direction.
Uh-huh.
So I started with like languages.
Okay.
And then after 2 years, you could be directed to the economic sciences. It seemed interesting to me. I was there for 2 years. What happened is I was a teenage boy, depression, sank in, and you know, I didn't want to live. So I had to just run to red lights with my bicycle.
Ah.
And of course, you know, like, it became a habit, and if you thought I was making the best at the time, I got caught by a car.
Okay.
When I woke up, I was a fan there, so should I call the ambulance? But, you okay? And, well, should I let the parents know? I was like, no, let's call the ambulance. And in the hospital.
Oh my God.
I'm just glad that I did, because I got taking the head
and
bringing up. Commotion.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Your head shakes a little bit, brains improves the
okay.
So I was in the hospital for 3 weeks and
wow.
I enjoyed being in the hospital for 3 weeks.
Oh really?
The nurses, I wouldn't want to do that. I just take care of people.
Yeah.
You know? And so at the end of the year.
These things change then.
So I decided to go into that direction. So next year, I signed up for a pre-nurse school. You know,
okay.
I'm 16 years too young to be a nurse. Okay. So, like, this pre-nursing aspects, where you learn going into that care direction.
Uh-huh.
You can't take care of sick people.
Okay.
But you learn how to take care of kids, these nurses, elderly homes, handicapped, or
okay.
kids.
Kind of like a opposite.
Yeah,
more exactly.
And then, like, what happened, like, over 2 years, I learned this wild thing. You know,
yeah, it just seems not sexy.
It's not sexy at all. It's smelly.
It's hard work.
And so, maybe, like, I like still to be in that direction, but maybe something with less liquids.
Changing and cleaning.
So, orthopedics, you might obtain, like, like at the time, there was wars in Africa.
Okay.
As well, t-shirts and stuff.
Yeah.
I heard that. Like, yeah. Needed like replacement
yeah.
for that. So I went to orthopedics.
Wow. Very interesting.
And I started, like, yeah, that was my first year in high school. College.
Yeah.
And, I lived for about a year. And things just kind of went wrong. My hobby kind of took over. I had a hobby. In the music, going to show.
I was just
going
to say, so then how did you jump from nursing into music?
It's a better storyline that kind of falls with it. Like when I was 34, I love music. Yeah.
It's just, that's huge.
It started with like when you're a kid, you know, you heard music and you're attracted to music, right? Like it was silly stuff you hear on the radio. It wasn't Spotify or, you know. So you had to buy music and like
see.
every Saturday, like the top 40, right?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
your favorites.
Yeah,
like
the top
20.
Yeah,
like your favorites and waiting like up and down.
Yeah,
you know, exactly that. So I have my favorites there. I ended up like the last 60s music, you know. There was like a couple mobs in the area. There was one kid, like a girl on the street was dealing in malls. This guy came by every
single time. The ones where the
park houses, the park houses and the zoos, and they were like all like.
Okay, very chic and very.
Very chic. Like, yeah, exactly. And dancing to, yeah. This is Northern Soul. And so, but then, like, when I started to follow that trend, and, I steal my dad's old suits.
Yeah.
I didn't like that. And he's like, well, you're not wearing a tie yet. You're not wearing, like, this kind of clothing yet. You'll be a kid, you know? It's like, well, what about this? And, like, meanwhile, it's like, you know, picturing my dad and, like, I think it's a punk rock. Yeah, but so I'll be like, some earrings and a nose ring. And I'll be like a mohawk, you know?
Wow, okay.
And that turned into a So I started going to, once I could, go out 16, 17, 18, I started going to functions.
Okay.
My functions are small.
Yeah.
And, you know, even if you have, like, small bands through the door, I never got into the idolism.
Yeah.
Because, like, you love a record, like, all the playing, it's alternative, they do the show, and then, we actually get to meet them and hang out with beer with them because they show up in the band and they're just dudes and want to start to play together in their stage and play for their album and leave. I was into a scene of like American punk bands, hardcore bands.
Wow. Circulating. And that what you're in Boston?
It was more in the outskirts. Yeah. Downtown hardcore, like, or Limburg. It was like us, the Surf Punks organization, the Stormtrooper. It was like a club. And yeah, it was all by like these American bands that were touring Europe. Small, unknown bands, but most of them were us.
Yeah, I
imagine. And so I would go to these shows every weekend or whatever I could. You know, hitchhiking, catch a ride with friends. Yeah. So I got kind of lost in that same time period.
Yeah.
Relationship with my dad, like,
yeah. Well,
brings off being for you.
At age, you're finding, you know, you're shifting from being a teenager into an adult, and then it's, you know, it can be a difficult transition. Who am I? What do I do? What do I like? What do I not like? Who am I?
Running away from home,
yeah, you know,
a couple times. Luckily, I never got really caught up with drugs because my first experience with drugs, like I was unconscious. Scared the hell out of me. So, which was great for the rest of my career because I was never interested in drugs.
Because I'm sure it's around you a lot.
It was around me most of the time.
Yeah.
I think I was almost lucky and I fell on bands that like, were not really in, but it was always around.
But so, how did you get into going back to like, you doing these punk bands, seeing, like, you know, everyone's connecting together. I guess it was kind of like, at that age, a bit of unity as well. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone was kind of, like, seeing the same people, and we're all in here together. So how do you get to do what you do now from what was the door that opened?
You know, like, the end of my 19th year, that first year in college, school was, I hadn't studied much that year. My focus was going to shows. I started helping these organizations. I cooked up for these artists. I was a cook.
What did you make?
I don't make like simple stuff, like mostly just like just kind of vegetables.
That's
tomato sauce.
Yeah. I'm sure those was great for eating.
Cause some people to eat fish. Yeah, this is a mix of that. Big pots. Yeah? Big pots and like all that. Here you go. Some bread. Butter.
Juice.
There's a beer. You know, people are poor too, you know?
Yeah.
They were small bands.
Like, yeah.
They were all in it for the money. It was like, So what happened was I got busy with that on the weekends, every weekend, so I failed to study much, and then towards the end of the year, tension rose because I didn't study, exams were getting near, I just broke up with my first real girlfriend, I broke up the rejection of my father.
Yeah.
All of that just fell up, and one afternoon, where the punk rock party in 85, bands play at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, on Sunday afternoon, you know? And there was like, I was talking to this singer of this band, a supported band from New York, False Prophets, I always remember it. And then we're talking to him once. Why don't you just jump in the band? That was help us scary stuff, and, you know, just be around, right, help it up. So, really? I was like, all right. So, when do we leave? With us tonight. We go back to Amsterdam after the show. And I had to figure out this whilst it has the balls for the answer. And I would hitchhike there. We get to do it just as we want with the answer. We can't hitchhike back. as a regular thing on the weekend. And so I went people there and tell them it's squat there and go back to the TV. We got that stuff.
Yeah.
And I ended up there and I ended up going traveling to Germany and to this is quite a life, right?
Yeah.
And
you obviously got paid.
And then I was like, how would I get it? So I ended up in Italy on that tour. I fell in love with a girl, one night stand, you know. in Dutch, after the torque, what does it mean? Kind of squat every place to use the day. Whereas now, it's back to Italy. And then, it didn't go that well.
I love stories you always end on about. Okay, so there was this guy, and you just know there's this girl, and you're like, yeah.
So, like, you know, it didn't work out that way.
But
it was like, I was lonely. I was, because the moment is all cool when you're on tour, but then, like,
yeah,
you get home. This
what is he? Slice parties and lows.
He dispersed and, like, they all had to relax. And, I had a place to live, but barely a place to live.
Yeah.
With no power. And, like, I had to go get my own food and, like, try to get to go food. And, like, so there's a squad that I went to the bar. Like, yeah. Get some kind of money, just barely to get around. All that stealing stuff, you know, stealing my bread.
Wow.
You can walk home at 5 o'clock in the morning, early, they deliver milk in front of the bars.
Yeah, I remember those days. It just shouldn't have
been. Like, yeah, it's harder, it's hard inside places, so the bakeries, They opened the doors and they're going to the East. And so I called them, and I showed up at their door. They did like I wished. Very bad. They like they were very bad. We got to do parents, yeah, actually. So I said, why didn't you live come over here? We understand the situation for your parents. You can't go back there. Come here. I'm like, we'll come to school, go to university, become something or not. It's like, thank you. You know? So, I left back to, I jumped back to Amsterdam.
Uh-huh.
And, got on another tour of the driver this time.
Okay.
And that tour ended, and the winter was coming close, October. It's like, I was victory the old squad in Amsterdam or wherever in the world. So I called these people. It's like, hey, like, you know, is it long or still valid? We'll figure out what to do, but, did I still come? I said, sure. Like, there. So what do you want to do in life?
Buy the van.
Just a van. We can sell the small vans and try the vans around. Languages, the borders, like before the EU, every single country, the currency, languages, even like using the dumb.
Yeah.
Points, big cards.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, come here, come work for me. I did. I have not worked for a year. I helped local service, cleaning service, did the old buildings. It's not a lot of catch them up. But we only bought this old Ford Transit van.
Yeah.
And we can stay they show me how to fix work with vans. You know? The uncle and mechanics and sales, and the other uncle at like a body workshop, and they would make me work with them. And like a year later, that old 1969 Transit van with double wheels in the back and all that dark purple tinted windows, you know.
So you were ready to rock and roll with
that. I put the word out. I got a
van. The man with the van.
And of course, you know, like, I got these really cheap vans, you know, like, barely afford anything. They couldn't afford the rental vans, but they couldn't afford me and my van. So that's how it started.
So then you ended up in America.
Yep. Italy, fast forward 5 years, mainly moved to Berlin eventually because that's where the agency was for. I ended up working well for. And while I was living in Berlin, eventually I got into a band that like was an version of becoming this big band. Like also like talk rock began before the radio. I was. At the time, one of the most favorite guys, and he put me out with the bus with him. That was me when I was in MG course in Italy. So I was a driver, sound guy, count, the one with all that, right?
And secondly, like, managing.
Yeah. And once the van comes over, they're getting a little bigger, they can afford the bus. So you're going to be sitting in one bus, doing the driving more. These often get a hotel, and you'll just be the tour manager, accountant, sound engineer. Great. They came, and the tour, they said, God, he asked me, hey, you ever been to America? I said, no. I said, do you want to?
Yeah, okay.
Not even like, there was no salary negotiation.
Yeah.
It's none of that.
Yeah.
It was like, well,
I think things were so much more simpler back in these days, right? You kind of just like, people would communicate more and say, hey, you want to go here or just want to do this?
And that's
so you landed in LA or?
I landed in LA. Lived with the guitar player of the band for the first month or so, and a little tour. Lived with the drum player in two tours. And went back and forth to Berlin, US for a year. The year was done in management science at American Band, and that had tour managed before, and then became bigger and bigger. And also, if you know, that was tour managing punk bands and arenas.
Yeah,
throughout the 90s. Yeah, big bands.
In the 90s.
And then, all the way to 2000, and because of the resumes of these bands, these rock bands, also I got to the pop star.
Yeah, okay.
From punk to pop. With a transition to rock.
Yeah. You know?
There's some rock bands. Yeah.
So how did the yoga creep into your life when you arrived in LA? I'm sure it was many years later.
Yeah.
Then maybe stepped into a yoga studio at that time.
So the first couple of years, this whole party, you're young and drinking and your body functions very well and the liver does very well. So you drink at 4 o'clock in the morning, you spend a couple hours, then more you're ready to go, right? So that's how it was for a couple of years. So eventually 25, 26, 27, and all of a sudden And all of a sudden the tour finishes and you look yourself in the mirror, it's like, who's that? All of a sudden you see like this overweight fat guy. I gotta do something about this. So we're some of the band guys, next tour, one of the lead singers decides to bring a trainer on tour.
Okay.
And also we have to tell me that we have health on tour.
Uh-huh.
And also see us do good. Change our nutrition and and then before you know it, we're vendors and we're gym rats. That could go for a good.
This makes like years. Late '80s or
from 1996, 1997.
We kind of aerobics and all.
Mostly workout when when you're running, the time for Google Maps and cell phones in your hand. The easiest way to get at least the workout in nature was put your own shoes on, walk out of the hotel, look. Observe.
Yes.
You walk. He said, you look at your watch, 30 minutes out, you turn it out, so you stop at 30 minutes, and you run the same way back.
I still run like that.
Exactly. Never get lost. And you can work on if you just start spacing, you get that bit behind, running next to you, and sometimes, it's 45 minutes. I'm going to run that. And now I'm going to leave. But eventually, long story short, I really needed a disc. I also added in between touring, I also added martial arts to my workout. And eventually, both of them together, I run myself into the disc. I ran around for some sort of 2006, 2 years I ran, a good year, I ran around short of Spain. It was fun.
Yeah.
And so, finally, I was given the option for surgery. I went that option. After my surgery, pain was gone.
Okay.
Pain was gone, but can't work, but I can't run anymore.
Yeah.
So I had to look for an alternative.
Yeah.
And so the advanced yoga and an old girlfriend, or my ex-wife, she had wanted me to do some yoga. I went a couple of times with her to yoga works in LA. I lived right around the corner from Larchmont.
Okay.
First big yoga studio was there. Little I know. Little I know, I took classes in the studio while she was in town. To Denmark, 10 years later, 15 years later.
Yeah.
That should be a studio that showed it like a great studio. I should have been there way earlier. But so yeah, like I was on tour and I just started googling yoga studios. Even when they Memphis, I think I participated in a pregnancy class because they had the class around and showed up. I didn't know it was a pregnancy class, but like they let me in. I thought that would be yoga, but it's pregnant woman. You know, it's pretty, it was there, but like not yet on your cell
phone. Yeah.
I think we had blackberries by then. So male, so we
could be. I think you must say that.
Yeah, it was great. You know, like cell phones first, like first, like before the very beginning was like, internet came, and then we were stuck again on the computers and then the BlackBerry came, BlackBerry gives that freedom again. Then like all the way up there to a point where like we get so much more time and freedom because of the technology. So the job simplified itself.
Yeah.
Year by year. So also the time to take care of yourself.
So when did you do your first yoga teacher training? Like, obviously you're sourcing yoga places to practice for how many years? 2-3 years in your journey?
3 years.
3 years now. And then was it an organic process for you to do it? Yoga teacher training, or did you have like a major studio in LA then that you're going to and practicing at that you decided like, well, maybe I might teach you to?
So like I said, I was looking for studios.
Yeah.
While touring, and I was in Denver, I believe. And I walked into what I thought was a regular studio. I didn't know the difference between Ashtanga, Iyengar. I just saw you. I was there. You know, I should not schedule or back schedule online or and became yoga class.
Oh, in Denver.
In Denver.
Wow, full places.
Spot I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Satanama. The whole thing, the whole bus.
Giant penis and just like hell.
I don't know how I made the class. The willpower you have to have to be in that class, and then the death.
The surrender.
Surrender the death that happened towards the end and at the end. Then awakening the reaper.
Yeah.
An empty room, holes to run, and this, I'll never be here again.
Yeah.
And you leave and you go on your day, like, oh my God, the rest of the day was like challenging. And then the craving, the sensation for that feeling so good afterwards. So, I came home. I came home and, premiered. I happened to be one like 5 distance away,
yeah,
7 minutes on the bicycle away from me. A little street in art, in Tillamook, Edwater Village.
Okay,
and so yes, there's I think like maybe 3 months of the 30-day challenge.
Oh, wow.
And then after the tour finished, and then 2 months off. And that's why you usually have, tour finished, you usually have 2-3 months.
Okay.
I always schedule time for myself.
Yeah.
And always try to make it work, so I would have 2-3 months for myself. whether it was like during the workout days where I would like have to lose some weight. And I discovered all the problems with my bicycle, running the bicycle. So yeah, like a 30-day challenge. And then like when I got back in the world, my studios and the very fun.
They were back in those days.
I'm talking about 2008, 2009 now.
And it was kind of a small community.
Yeah, a small community that every single
time. People went out, went to the studios out.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was cool. It was fine.
I remember being in like, that was on tour, from one big promotional tour for a big pop star. And waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go find a studio in London.
Uh-huh.
Because we love the one in the basement.
Yeah, this is the London Bridge. That's where I practice now. I have my home studio with work. That's where I practice at a time in London.
And yeah. I would go in the morning. Meet to Berlin, find a studio there, and meet Berlin, and like practice there. Spain and like find studio in Madrid. It's like, what is this easy?
Yeah, it's a great
way. And that was even a 3-day challenge.
Yeah.
I worked by an excuse every day. And like, it was incredible because like, I wasn't drinking. I wasn't partying. I had a lot of responsibilities. But artists, they sleep anymore. The aggressive, because they're up late.
Of course.
So I'll sacrifice now.
Yeah.
That all the time I didn't need to party after hours with the band or, I got head to the bed earlier.
Yes.
Earlier, do my practice. And that all this energy, clean energy. I thought that was incredible.
That's awesome.
So before you know, I was addicted to becoming a man.